Are you ready to elevate your career with a professionally published book, but unsure where to start? I'm Lynn Alexidis-Margis, and I work with thought leaders, executives, and speakers on how to write and self-publish their book with confidence. From conquering imposter syndrome to navigating book marketing, join me each week for practical wisdom and proven strategies, bringing you closer towards your goal of self-publishing success. Whether you're a CEO with revolutionary ideas or a speaker with an inspiring journey, the Publishing for Professionals podcast is your roadmap to becoming a published best-selling author. Hey, friends and future authors. This is Lynn Alexidis-Margis, ghostwriter and book editor here at Write For You. Thanks for listening to today's book blueprint episode. I'm really excited to have my guests on today because a book blueprint episode is where my guests come on and ask me questions about writing and publishing, which I absolutely love. But before we jump into today's show, I want to give a big welcome back to my returning listeners. Thanks for joining me again. And another big welcome to my new listeners. Thanks for stopping by and make sure you hit the follow and or subscribe, whether you're watching this on YouTube or listening to this on an audio podcast player. All right, friends. Today, I have a great conversation for you. I'm going to be joined by Stephanie Jordan. She is an author, teacher, and speaker and retired from her 27-year career as a cosmetologist to pursue the call from God on her life. She is a widow and has five amazing children. The family pets are Roscoe, the dog, and a cat, Bunny, which is absolutely adorable. I love that. She has a couple of different works out. One of her books is A Dose of Reality, Believing in Boundaries, The Death Tsunami, The Narcissistic Bride of Christ, and a soon-to-be-released author and with a collaboration, Faithful in Every Season. She has an online e-course called Believing in Boundaries, an e-course that complements the book but is standalone. She is a poet, nonfiction author, and artist. Stephanie is here with us today to ask about book marketing, which is always a challenge for everybody that I talk to. Stephanie, thanks so much for joining us. I can't wait for you to ask me your book marketing questions today.
Yeah, thanks for having me here. I'm glad to be here with you.
Awesome. Before we jump into you asking me questions, let's find out about the latest book that you are writing and what is it that you're writing? What genre is it? And do you have a published like kind of date or season in mind?
I just started my newest book, which will be called Legacy Builders, and I'm hoping to have it out by May, and I'm probably lying to myself.
I know. There's always like the date that we want to have our book out and the date that we actually have our book out. Well, September is a really popular launch season. So if you miss the May window, September's another really good one.
Yeah, I think usually about a year is what it takes start to finish for me to get it out. So May will be kind of insane to even think about. But big, high goals, right? Like, yeah, you never know.
I know. But
my last release was The Narcissistic Bride of Christ, and I put it out in October of last year, October of 2024. So that's my newest book that is completed.
Awesome. Great. Well, congratulations on that. That's amazing. And so you have three books published as an author, correct?
I have four total, but the A Dose of Reality, you can only get through me in person right now. So I use give it away. I'm going to write a little bit more and revamp it and re-put it out underneath my own publishing company. But I did that one back in 2011 with a hybrid publisher, like way forever ago. So I'm gonna redo it at some point.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I always recommend people, like if you had gone, I actually recommend that a lot to people who have gone with like a hybrid or a traditional publisher. You want to do the self-publishing route. As long as you rewrite 20% of your book, 20% is different material. You can republish that as a second edition, self-publishing it on your own without having to go through a publisher again. So I think that's a really great option to do, especially if you're not happy with the way it turned out or your experience with the publisher that you had before.
Yeah, they ended up closing. And so they don't even exist anymore. And, you know, I was brand new into everything and big nobody with a big no name, you know, social media wasn't even a thing in 2011, you know, like it was was not huge back then. There wasn't these big audiences that people have been able to develop. And so it was like hybrid was best choice at that time. And I'm not sorry that I did it, but I would never do it again. And I don't recommend it.
That makes sense. One of the things, I don't think BookTube was out in 2010, but like a lot of the book things have more sprung up in the past 5 years. So there was a lot of like, I mean, Goodreads was out, but it's the self-publishing scene has really blown up in the past 5 years for sure. Absolutely. All right. Yes. So let's dive into your marketing questions. So what's your first question you have for me today, Stephanie?
Okay. After you've done all of this work and you get a book out, how do you get people interested in your book?
Yeah. So there's a few different ways. So one of the things, depending on what you're writing, and a lot of people who I write for or edit their book for, they're doing like books that are basically lead magnets for their business. So they're using them as calling cards. And so a lot of people that I write and edit for have some kind of following on social media. Basically, if the person likes you, right? Like they like your style, they like your message, they like your brand. And then you're like, hey, I'm coming out with a book. It's really just like building that book, like interest over time. And I always tell people the best, like ideally you want to start marketing 3 months before, like super ideally 6 months before you plan on publishing it, because you don't have to have a finished book to market it, right? You just need some material from your book. So, and you can talk about little snippets of your book on podcasts. You can talk about like, you know, characters. If you have a fiction book, you can talk about like why you're writing your book, what problems it solves. So there's a lot of things about your book you can talk about in your marketing campaign without having a finished book. So some people think like, oh, I have to have my book finished to market it. And you really don't. You don't even have to have like a great rough draft. You just have to know like, you know, what you're talking about in your book, your contents of your book, and, you know, like who your book is for. That's really important. Because if you don't know who your book is for, you shouldn't even have started writing your book, because that's a really, really, and you'd be surprised how some people just start writing. And then I ask them like, well, who is your book for? And they're like, well, you know, people who like to read. It's like, no, that's way too general.
Right.
Yeah. So
people who like to read.
Right. Yeah. And you'd be surprised how often I get that. So, and that's just like an experience, right? People just don't know what they're doing, and they've never written a book before. And they're like, well, I have a book in my head and I'm inspired to write it, which is fabulous. Like, I love that people are passionate about it. But at the same time, before you go through the time, expense, and effort of writing a book, you definitely want to know who it's for and why and what pain points you're solving for people. If it's a nonfiction self-help, or like, you know, in your case, it's a Christian book, like what is your message going to be? What's your Christian message going to be? What flavor of Christian is it going to be? Because we know there's many different flavors of Christian out there. Right. And so, yeah. And so, and who is your audience? Is it moms? Is it Christian moms? Is it Christian dads? Is it, you know, like, so who is your audience? So you need to know all those things before you write your book. And so that's really important. And that's one of the reasons why I have what's called a book focus template, which is what people can get, which is what I go through with all my clients. And it literally fleshes out like your purpose, what your message is, and all that stuff. So yeah, to your point is you want to, so 3 to 6 months before you're planning on publishing it, start talking about it by getting on other podcasts and things like that. But just, you know, start figuring out like what you're going to talk about your book.
That's really good. I think that that's really important because it makes you think through a little bit further ahead, right? But yeah. You're not in the thick of all of the, oh my gosh, I have to do this right now. So you can plan some things out. So I think that's really good.
Yeah. And then also too, and when you're doing that initial like marketing piece, you can see like what works and what doesn't. And then you can just duplicate what works, obviously with different content, but in the same kind of vein that you're working with before. That's definitely what I would recommend, is just to, you know, try to create content from the rough draft that you're creating already.
That's good advice.
All right. So what is your next question for me?
Okay. So do you ever suggest reading your book on social media to get people interested?
I say yes. So my opinion on that is, and here's the thing, right? So reading your book, it's not like you're sitting down and reading your book cover to cover. So what I always suggest to people is like pick a paragraph or two out of a chapter and read it. And then, but not just read it and be like, okay, that's done. Right. But like read it and say why you wrote it, what the purpose is that you wrote it, what you were thinking when you wrote it. Like, because people like to know that behind the scenes stuff. Like, what was Stephanie thinking when she wrote this? Like, why did she write it? Why did she feel feel compelled to write it in this way. So I would say yes. I would not read like it, obviously your entire book, because that's kind of, you know, was a point. But like maybe read like a paragraph out of chapter 9, and then next time maybe you read a paragraph out of chapter 1, and then you read a paragraph after chapter 15. It doesn't have to be in order either. It can be whatever you're feeling like, hey, this is what I want to read about this week, and read a paragraph or two and then talk about it. And then obviously it depends on what kind of format you're doing. You're doing longer format or shorter format videos and things like that. But I say yes, read it. And then also too, you can just talk about, like, you can even read your introduction or part of your introduction and talk about like people like to listen to authors read their own stuff, because it's really interesting on how people interpret their own work and then how the reader interpret it too. So that's always can be an advantage as well.
So I find that part to be one of the critical parts about editing, because I hear a lot of people say like, oh, you don't really have to get it edited. And I'm like, oh no, yes, you do. Because the way you write is not necessarily the way somebody will translate a sentence. I have found editing, though I hate it, and it's my least favorite part of book production, to be so critical, because it's really the details of the sentence, mm-hmm. right? It's the fine details. And what you were just saying is like the way that an author reads the writing versus how somebody else may translate it is real. And it's that way even with writing as a whole.
Yeah. And there's a few other reasons why editing is so important. And I have a couple different episodes on this podcast talking about specific like types of editing and things like that. One is there's a type of editing called developmental editing. And the reason why developmental editing is important is because it gives you an overarching, like, you know, like fill in the blank things. So like one of my current clients I'm editing her book for right now, she's from a specific part of the United States. And every part of the United States, we have our own little niche, like words we use in our language that no one else understands in any other part of the United States, sometimes outside of our town, depending on how niche it is. And she's used several of those words. And I'm like, I have no idea what that means. And so that's part of editing, right? Is to get outside of your own head, because our brain is really good. And I'm sure you've seen this, Stephanie, at filling in pieces where people are like, I don't understand this. So that's why you get an editor, yes. Not just because of the grammar, right? But because there's going to be certain pieces of your book that people aren't going to understand. And you're not going to think about that because you're in your own head writing it.
That's right.
And so getting a good developmental editor and a good line editor is essential. And here's the other piece on why you want to get an editor. And people who don't get an editor are missing this piece big time, is that if you put out a book and you have quote unquote self-edited it, or you just throw it through Grammarly, it's going to have errors in it. And it's going to have a lot of errors in it. And when you put that book out, if you're publishing as an expert, people are going to read that and they're going to see all those errors. And what's going to happen is you're going to lose credibility with that reader. And they're going to be like, why should I hire them for their services if they're not even going to invest the time and money to put out a professional book, right?
I agree.
Or why should I invest in their services if they're not going to be professional about their book and there's all these mistakes? They must make a lot of mistakes in their services. So your reputation, as you know, is super important. And if you don't protect your reputation and it goes bad, it's really hard to get it back.
Yeah.
But it's much easier to spend and make the investment on a good editor to put out a professional book that's going to enhance your reputation. Because if you don't get a good editor, unless you're a professional writer, you're going to have a lot of errors in that book. And even with a professional writer, like I have an editor for my books too. So because I know I'm in my own head. And so it's really important to always have a professional editor for your book.
It's funny that you say that, because I love the editor that I've used with my last two books. She's fantastic. And she does a great job at asking questions. So instead of saying like, you need to write it like this, she'll be like, what did you mean by this? Which makes me have to rethink everything I just said.
Exactly. Yes. A good editor is going to ask you a lot of questions.
Oh. Yeah.
And I mean, there are times where an editor has to tell you things like, this is very common. A lot of my clients and people do this. I do the same thing, right? We make the same mistake like over and over again, right? Because we're very repetitive with the same things we do wrong all the time. And so I'll say like, you can't use parentheses all the time, or you can't use ellipses all the time. So those things I will say, but yes, to your point, a good editor is going to ask you a lot of questions, especially if it's a developmental edit. The line edit, they're not going to be asking you as many questions, but a good developmental editor is going to ask you some really good questions that are going to make you think. And if the questions make you think, then it's probably not a good editor.
Yeah. So the first editor that I used, I just had to accept that she would have given my book a 1-star review. She did not like my book. She sent me a scathing email about it. And actually, my brother, he's the doctor of geology. So he's a super analytical scientist, bookworm, you know, has written scientific papers. And he always does like pre-editing for me. And when I sent him that email, he was like, you should fire her. He was like, this is like ridiculous. And we were too far into the process at that point for me to fire her. And I just finished it out. But this, it was a learning lesson for me on my very first book. And I heard God say in my heart, he said, I gave you this voice, because she would have destroyed my book because she didn't like the book. Had I not been able to say, no, this is my voice. Like you're not able to change my voice. Right. Now, if you think I need to reword something to make more sense, or you don't understand what I'm saying, you're welcome to ask that question. And I would like to like work through the process, which is what the editor I love does, right? She's like, what are you even talking about here? Or this doesn't make any sense. I need more detail, you know, or you've gone too broad. Like she does a really great job of reining right. my brain in, where the first editor was just very critical of the work. And so if you're writing and in a new position and you have an editor that just hates your book, find a new one.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to have a response to that. We're going to take a break really right here, but I have a response to that. So just hold on just for a few seconds, folks. Stay tuned, because we're going to come back with more about book marketing with Stephanie and I. Hey, friends and future authors. I know what it's like to sit at your desk staring at your manuscript and wondering if you're the only person who feels alone when writing your book. That's why I created the Publishing for Professionals Virtual Writing Retreat, a sanctuary for leaders like you who are crafting books to elevate your thought leadership. Our writing retreat offers writing blocks, publishing support, and a place to share our resources and wisdom. Sign up today at www.writeforyou.me and click on events to register for this complimentary writing retreat today. Now let's get back to the show. Hey, friends and future authors, we are back with this episode 61, and I'm super excited to have Stephanie on my podcast today. We're doing a book blueprint episode, and make sure if you have a friend who is looking for assistance with writing the book and this sounds like something they can use, make sure you share this episode with a friend. So Stephanie, right before the break, you talked about an editor that didn't like your book. So first of all, if I'm an editor and if someone sends me their manuscript and it's like, this is not something I want to, I just tell them like, this is not my genre or this is not my specialty, and that's fine, and I'm not going to edit it. So first of all, she should not have ever taken your project. Another thing you can do for people that are listening to avoid issue is that you can send someone a sample of your work, and in the industry standard is to edit 500 words for free. I see some authors be like, oh, can you edit a chapter for free? No, it doesn't work that way. It sounds horrible because you have 12 different editors, and that's what's called a Franken edit in the industry. Definitely don't want to do that. Like their sample, though, you can say, hey, can I pay you to edit a chapter? See how that goes. And if it doesn't go that well, guess what? You haven't made a huge investment of your whole book and or time, right? And then there's also, of course, the stress, because I could tell in your voice, like that was stressing you out. And that's to your point, someone should not change your voice, right? They make it clear and they should change the wording to make it understandable. But they shouldn't change your voice and tone and style. That is what a good editor does not do. They don't change your voice and tone and style. They keep that. So, and another thing is, before you work with somebody, you can set your entire manuscript and say, like, if an editor has your manuscript and they read it and they say yes, they should not be arguing with you about your book. Like, no one you hire should be arguing with you about your book. That's just so unprofessional on so many levels. I'm so sorry you had that experience. But yeah, there's like every profession, there's some and there's some really not so great people in editing. All right. So I think we have time for one more question, Stephanie. What you got?
All right. So how long do you promote a project before moving on to the next one?
Oh, that is a great question. So promoting a project, it really depends. It really depends on like what your goal is. And if you have like a trilogy, or if you have just this single book you're trying to promote. So for your book that you're trying to promote, Stephanie, what is your goal with it?
I'm doing this more full time. I would love more like speaking engagements and stuff like that to actually dig into the content of the book with the audience. I don't have the kind of life where I can do a bunch of teeny little signings where three people show up. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a widow with five kids. Two of my kids are grown and out of the house, but I still have three at home. You know, I don't have that kind of life where I can just do all these little teeny little small things. I need bigger chunks of exposure, I guess I would say. But like, I'm in this kind of interesting spot is that I'm starting a new book now, but I don't feel like I'm done promoting the Narcissistic Bride of Christ. And so I don't really know what type of overlap to do with promotion of the two, or does one get lost in another? And then I have this Faithful in Every Season happening right now, which I'm a co-author with other authors. So it's like, where does one stop and one begin? How does that work? What do you think is the best?
So I would say continue to promote your book that you have now, because one of the things is that you start promoting both books now and your other one's probably not coming out till like May, possibly September. People are going to get confused because you're promoting two books at the same time for too long. I would say continue to promote the current book you have now. And I would say one of the best, from my experience, is one of the best places to promote your book, to go signings and just promote your platform, is to go to like what I call your industry event. So if your book is Christian, I would say go to Christian conferences, Christian events that have like a lot of people at it that have your flavor of Christian. So conferences that appeal to, yeah.
Okay.
So
flavor.
If you've got spicy Christian going on, then you want to go to conferences where you're going to find more spicy Christians, right? And so that's an awesome place to go, because I always tell people, avoid, you know, Barnes and Noble's great, but like, unless you're like an A-list author or you're really, really popular, you're not going to get a ton of people showing up at Barnes and Noble. You might get like 3 to 10 people, which is fine. But like you said, it's better ROI for you to go to a bigger event that's going to have a lot of people who are looking for your type of book. And so if you find Christian events around your area that you don't have to promote your book at these Christian events, whether they're conferences or their talks or their workshops or whatever it is. And also too, being a speaker at these Christian events, because you already have a book, that's going to be helpful to sell your book and get people to know who you are as an author and follow you on your platform. And then the more people you get to follow you on your platform with this marketing book, and if they like this book, they're paying. And then if your other one you think is probably more going to come out like September because you're really busy, I would say start marketing your new book in May. And then say, hey, if you like the last book, here's my new book. You can pre-order on Amazon.
Okay. That's good.
Awesome. So has this been helpful, Stephanie?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a great conversation. I appreciate it so much.
Great, great. All right. So my friends, if you are listening into this episode and you want to visit Stephanie, tell us where people who are listening to this episode can visit you and find out more about you as an author, or they want to find out more about what you're working on as far as like your publishing company.
Yeah. So you can go to my website, www.stephaniejordan.com. It's under construction right now. So if any links aren't working, they will be soon. We're trying to update and upgrade, you know, because you got to do that every so often. I'm on all the socials at the Stephanie Jordan in some form or fashion. So you can find me there. Feel free to message me if you have any questions. And I try and keep everything updated on kind of like what I'm doing and where I might be speaking at and stuff like that. So
awesome. Sounds good. Well, Stephanie, I'm so glad you joined us today. This has been really great. So friends, thank you for joining us. You know, I love to work with new and repeat authors to get past their mindset, writing, and publishing hurdles so authors can have a smooth publishing pathway and be confident in self-publishing their nonfiction books. So if you don't know what to do next, go to writeforyou.me and book your complimentary discovery call. I'm ready to stand by your side and walk you through the publishing process. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. Thanks for joining me today on the Publishing for Professionals podcast. I really hope this episode has equipped you with an actionable strategy for your publishing journey. If you found the information on today's show valuable, make sure to rate and leave a review for my show on your favorite podcast player. And also subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and get the next episode dropped as soon as it's published. Until next week, this is Lynn Aliquity reminding you to keep writing, keep dreaming, and keep creating. Your book is waiting to be born. This podcast is brought to you by Unicorn Publishing Company. The information in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. The content shared by the host, guests, and affiliates is not intended to substitute for professional, legal, or financial advice or any professional advice specific to your situation. Always seek the advice of a qualified professional with any questions you may have. The opinions expressed on the show by the host or guests are those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of Unicorn Publishing Company. Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, guests, and affiliates are not responsible or liable for any decisions made by listeners or actions taken hereto based on the information discussed in this podcast. By listening to this podcast, you acknowledge and agree to release Unicorn Publishing Company, the host, affiliates, and guests from any liability.